League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league home run with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by six more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky in 3-0. Los Angeles, Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. We're at the Superstore tonight. As always, a show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Carfax Fox Sale through tonight. Come on up and see us, everybody, at the Monroe Superstore. Again, glad to have you on board. Big weekend of sports. Special thanks to Jim Cushlin, who filled in, of course, on Thursday and on Friday as well. Hockey season winding down for me, but a good show lined up here tonight. 5:15, David Glazier will join us. News Herald out of Cleveland. How about John Dorsey and what the Cleveland Browns general manager has done in, less than a week now, has created more buzz, and I think probably given Cleveland Brown fans more faith they've had in any leadership group probably in years. Now, nothing's happened. They haven't played a game. They were 0-16 last year, 4-44, you know, over the last three seasons. They've been absolutely, well, as everybody knows, horrible. But John Dorsey, a proven, certified football guy at the helm now, basically shoring up a Cleveland team. I mean, the whole amazing thing about this is with this whole transition, did not give up any of his top five draft picks in the first two rounds to make all these deals. Sad thing, DeShone Kizer moves from the Browns to Green Bay for a regional fan standpoint thing. But you know what? Now he gets to learn under Aaron Rodgers instead of being thrown into the fire in that whole situation that the Browns went through last year. So David Glazier at 5:15 will join us. We're talking Browns. We're going to talk a little Cavs as well. 5:35 tonight. The bracket is out, of course, by the way. Nick Petrovich will join us. Nick, of course, is the Ohio State beat writer. They will take on South Dakota State on Thursday. We will have that game right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket gets underway at 3:30, so no drive time on Thursday, by the way. The Buckeyes, of course, in the same bracket as Michigan as well. They take on San Diego State on Thursday. So Nick Petrovich will join us again coming up at 5:35 tonight to talk about the 2018 NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Again, all of that around the corner. Just a couple of other notes on the weekend. Tiger Woods in contention all the way down the stretch, of course, on Sunday. How about this? Highest television ratings for a non-major since 2013 on Sunday. You don't think this guy has an impact in the television ratings? You know, I know we talked about this last week, about tournaments that he was not a contender in. You know, basically we still saw a lot of him on camera. It's a compelling story. And listen, I'm not convinced he's all the way back, and I'm not convinced he is going to win again. He's won 79 times, but it certainly was good. A guy now learning how to play with his new body, his repaired body, a little bit restricted on the swing, which might be a good thing for Tiger Woods. But the important thing was people were watching, and don't you think for a moment every other player in the PGA Tour delighted that Tiger is back. Dave Spillman told me a story about his mother not long ago, not knowing much about golf. Dave's, of course, one of the sales managers here at the Superstore. But she used to tune in and watch Tiger Woods. What that did, all of a sudden, she's watching Tiger. She got to know, even at her advanced age, approaching 80, all the other players on the tour. That's what Tiger did. Purses got bigger, advertising dollars got bigger, and again, a huge day. NBC had to be delighted they got that tournament. Of course, the three big networks for golf, CBS with Jim Nance, NBC with Dan Hicks, and of course the majors now, or a couple of the majors with Fox. NBC, how about this? They get the real pick of the litter yesterday with this game, or with this tournament down in Florida with Tiger Woods, who finished second, one shot behind Paul Casey. Of course, the Reed was involved as well. Huge television numbers again. Yesterday, highest golf rating outside a major since 2013. The University of Toledo Rockets, their whole season, basically. Can you tell that we're doing this show basically from a automobile dealership, as one of the vehicles here in the showroom, somebody has hit the panic button. And there you, well, here we go again. Off she goes again here at the Superstore, the beautiful showroom. Somebody hit that, well, unbelievable, as we have a situation going on here in, well, it has stopped again. So I got to tell you, I've been doing this for almost 40 years. You know, this is 2 days, two of the most bizarre things that have ever happened to me in radio have happened in the last 2 days. This, of course, was somebody hitting the panic button with one of the cars here in the showroom at the Superstore. And yesterday, I was in Canada doing a game in Niagara and was on the post-game show yesterday, and all of a sudden just had people walking through the press box, you know, picking up things and looking at things. I mean, like 2 feet from me. I don't know if they thought I was there as, you know, somebody servicing the suite. Gonna order a beer from me, some popcorn, a couple of hot dogs or whatever. We're picking up things. It was crazy. So 2 in 2 days for me after 40 years of things that I basically have never seen before. And believe me, tongue in cheek. Yesterday in Niagara, people in the broadcast location, and today here at the, this is a good looking Jeep too, I will tell you. But that's what you heard in the background, somebody hitting the panic button on the vehicle as well. But again, Tiger Woods, big television numbers yesterday. University of Toledo Rockets, they get beat 76-66 Buffalo. That type of year. You know what you're going to say? What would have happened if Tayshaun Fletcher was in the lineup for the University of Toledo? That's it. They're the number two seed. They make it to the championship game. MAC Player of the Year, not in the lineup. It really is. What if? It's one of those what if situations. Walleye over the weekend, they go 2-1. They beat Quad Cities twice, and they also win a game, and that, of course, was against Indianapolis. BG, tough luck on them. They in that third and deciding game, they get beat in overtime, Northern Michigan University. Chris Bergeron and his crew is done. What else we got here? Red Wings are in San Jose tonight. Tough loss, double overtime for St. Francis. St. Ignatius beats them for the third time in 3 years in the championship game. 5-4, double overtime. In fact, Nick Petrovich, who's coming up at 5:35, you know, to talk a little brackets also covered that game in Columbus. So, right around the corner, David Glazier, News Herald Cleveland, back after this.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. As always, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. If you'd never believed before that we were doing this show from the showroom, you just heard that horn in the background not long ago. Somebody hit the panic button. That just proves, yes, indeed, every night we are at the Superstore, the mothership, beautiful 2018 Jeep. Had a little panic button issue there. Again, glad to have you on board. David Glazier will join us in 1 second. But first, Adam Scheffler of ESPN talks about the Browns' trades. Here we go.
They can do whatever they want now because they've got the veteran quarterback insurance that they needed. They get Tyrod Taylor from the Buffalo Bills. And again, if they want to go Sam Darnold at number one, Josh Allen at number one, they now have a quarterback so that they can play him and not have to rush a rookie along in Cleveland. They can bring him along slowly, and they can bring him along as Tyrod Taylor is throwing to Jarvis Landry, who the Cleveland Browns surrendered 2 picks for today.
Well, I guess, David Glazier, number one, thanks for coming on. Number two, John Dorsey probably could run for mayor of Cleveland right now and win.
I don't know about that, but I think people are feeling better about the Browns than they were 2 weeks ago. I don't think they are. I know they are. Of course, there's I got to tell you, there's a certain number of people here who just don't, you know, who have disconnected from the Browns. I mean, sadly, judging from all the Pittsburgh Steelers gear I see around here, there's a lot of front runners who, you know, migrated to the front runner. But that's another story for another day. He had a great week. Something needed to be done. I loved the acquisition of Tyrod Taylor. I loved the acquisition of Jarvis Landry. I loved the way that they got rid of Danny Shelton, who just really wasn't very productive in a 4-3, which is what they're going to play. I think they made themselves better, but I'm going to part company with Adam Schefter. I think this clears the way for them to take Saquon Barkley with the number one pick overall and then take whichever quarterback is still there at number four. And I think three of the four, big four, are going to be there because I believe I think he's a safety or a linebacker from Alabama. We'll go either in the 2 or 3 spot, and that'll leave the Browns, you know, with Josh Allen, Darnold, or Rosen to pick at number four. And you know what? I'm going to shock the world here. It wouldn't surprise me if they waited until their first pick in the second round. I think it's 33rd overall to take a quarterback. I mean, what's the rush? I know everybody says, well, they keep passing on franchise quarterbacks. Well, yeah. But when your franchise is so bleak, 1-31 the last 2 years, you better get talent wherever you can find it. And I think this drafting by need is a plan that works for teams that are already there, that are winners, that are playoff contenders. The Browns are far from either.
Well, I couldn't agree more, but I think you nailed it. What a tremendous week for John Dorsey. David Glazier joins us, News Herald out of Cleveland. And, I mean, it just proves. I mean, I watched a man operate for 10 years at the major league level, a Hall of Famer, a GM by the name of Lou Lamoriello, and 3 Stanley Cups later. There were times you scratched your head a little bit about some of the moves he made. But on the other side of the coin, the players, the coaching staff went to sleep every night knowing you had a quote-unquote a hockey man in charge, and there's no doubt with John Dorsey's resume, you got a football guy in charge.
Yeah, and, you know, the other part of the equation here, I don't think that's getting as much attention as I believe it'll get once the season start, is what Dorsey's doing is he's cutting ties with players who he doesn't have any emotional attachment to because he didn't draft them. He didn't draft those players. What's going to happen next year when the inevitable losses stack up to Hugh Jackson? Hugh Jackson is not John Dorsey's guy. I think the Browns better be a whole lot better next year, or Jackson will be looking for a job by the bye week. Dorsey seems like a level-headed guy. He's sure of himself in a good way. He's got a track record that says he's a man worth paying attention to, and he's brought on board some interesting personnel people, which the Browns needed like a man or a woman in the desert needs fresh water. Their personnel decisions the last 5 years were almost all head scratchers, especially those in the draft. And the record on the field, you know, reflects that. It's theoretically impossible to stay as bad as the Browns have been, given their draft positions. The league is set up to reward teams who perform poorly with advantageous draft positions. And the smarter organizations have used the draft to make themselves better. The Browns, not so much. In fact, not at all. But hope springs eternal, and you have to start somewhere. And if nothing else, Mike, the Browns have been so bad for so long that there's no other way to go but up.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Again, as David Glazier joins us, News Herald in Cleveland, I've always said this, coaches and general managers, you don't want to take over the New England Patriots. You want to take over the Cleveland Browns, and there is no way but up. Hey, tell me, we're going to localize this a little bit, and
sure.
Sean Kizer gets out of town, of course, and now he gets to study under Aaron Rodgers as opposed to being thrown to the Lions and the Tigers and everything else, and including bad karma that the Cleveland Browns offered him. That being said, I would guess he's a couple, 2-3 years away. But you know what? We saw it with a lot of guys under Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers is one of them. Good for the local kid, Deshaun Kizer, as well.
I think that his numbers were certainly abysmal last year, but so was the situation. I mean, throwing a rookie quarterback into that maelstrom, fancy word there, Michael, wasn't the fairest thing in the world. In fact, it wasn't fair at all. I thought he had his moments. I mean, he had a terrible receiving core for most of the year, or very, very average, until they got Josh Gordon back. And he's, you know, he's a heck of a receiver. I hope the kid does well. You know, Michael, he's 21. That's 21 years old. And he'll get 2 or 3 years behind Aaron Rodgers. And Green Bay does a good job developing quarterbacks, and I wish him nothing but the best. I think he's got terrific upside. You can't teach the arm he has. There's some question about his ability to read plays and make judgment calls on the fly that all good, the great NFL quarterbacks do. But once again, I think that's a function more of experience than it is of talent. I think he's got the talent.
No, I do too. Josh Gordon, good receiver, as was Josh Gibson. How do you like that?
I'm sorry about that. Josh Gibson was, of course, the great Negro League player who was, prevented from making his mark in the major leagues at the peak of his career because of baseball's so-called color line.
No question. Two good receivers. Josh Gibson, one of the great catchers ever. No doubt. I read
that's a right.
Biography. What a great, great, great hitter. Just absolutely unbelievable. Again, talking to David Glazier, News Herald out of Cleveland, talking some Browns on a Monday. But normally, of course, we're talking about the 2018 NCAA men's basketball tournament. That's coming up at 5:35 tonight with Nick Petrovich. But let's stick to basketball a little bit. No fun in La La Land. And right now for the Cavaliers, they got beat 116-102 to the Clippers on Friday night.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, the Lakers getting 127-113. Of course, swirling around all this is LeBron James maybe going to the Lakers. Tell me what's going on with the Browns. They've lost four of their – the Browns, excuse me, the Cavaliers. They've lost four of their last six.
Well, they're battling injuries now, and could they have played better last night? I'm sure they could have, but when you're missing as many frontline players as they are, specifically Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson, you're going to struggle against a team like Los Angeles that's been, if you look at the last 20 games, the hottest team in the league. Maybe not quite as hot as Houston, so I'd say the second hottest team in the league, but the Lakers have, you know, rounded into pretty good form, and you know, they just made a lot of shots last night, and Julius Randle had, you know, a career night. He got his career high, and they just tore apart the Cavs there. A 22-3 run in third, early fourth quarter turned what had been a close game into a rout. And this has been happening to the Cavaliers a lot this year. That's why I've been saying, and I know I'm not going to be terribly popular around here for saying this, they have zero chance to get out of the Eastern Conference playoffs this year into a fourth straight finals. Number one, they're not going to catch Toronto this year. Nobody is. I think Toronto's going to be in the NBA finals. They're a team that's stayed healthy, has stayed focused, hasn't had the in-season dissension that the Cavs had before they made the big trades on February 8th. They've been remarkably steady, and they're well-coached, and I think that this is Toronto's season. The last 2 years, they've had their heads handed to them by the Cavaliers in the playoffs, and it's not going to happen this year, even with LeBron playing at amazingly good form for a guy who's in his 15th season. As for the go-to-L.A. stuff, I'm not even paying attention to that. He has said, and I believe him, that he's not even thinking about that until the offseason. He's focused solely on getting back to the finals with this team and rectifying what's wrong with it. And I believe he's genuine about that. If he winds up in Los Angeles after the season as a free agent, well, more power to him. He came back to Cleveland. I'll say he made it right after the decision in 2011, but he came back, and in his second year back, the Cavs won an NBA title, and he and Kyrie Irving had a lot to do with that. If you also wonder why the Cavs are not able to maintain any sort of sustained momentum this year, it just might be because Kyrie Irving and his 23 points a game are now in Boston.
Yeah, no question. Hey, when's Kevin Love back with his hand injury?
2 weeks. So he'll be here for the last 2 weeks. He'll be here for the last 2 weeks of the regular season. I think I figured it's either six or seven games to get back into the flow. He'll get back into the flow quickly. He's actually running and shooting now. He's not doing full contact drill, but I watched him at practice one day last week with his left hand in a sort of glorified semi-soft cast with an ace bandage, you know, just draining jumper after jumper. So he'll have his legs under him. He won't have gone at game speed for 7 weeks, but I believe he'll be back next week, and that will definitely help the Cavs.
David Glazer. Dave, are you battling a cold?
I am. I'm awfully sorry about that. I'm not using my radio voice. But
please don't apologize. I was going to throw you a compliment here. I think you sound great. You got a little Lou Rawls in you here this afternoon.
I do.
Not bad stuff.
You'll never find another love like mine.
Wonderful.
Pretty
wonderful.
Good, huh? Yeah.
I've
definitely got that going. Yeah, I was covering the MAC tournament last week. By the way, tough luck for the Toledo Rockets losing Trayshawn Fletcher, the MAC player of the year, in the middle of the MAC tournament. I think they would have given Buffalo a heck of a game and did give Buffalo a heck of a game. I haven't looked at the paper today. Did the Rockets get an NIT bid?
No, they did not. And then the tournament below that, which I don't even know what they call that, they turned that one down. They did not get an NIT. You know, we talked about this all last week about the runner-up in the MAC, and I look at some of the teams in the brackets, and I listen, you college follow college basketball and write about it a lot more than I do, but I'm just surprised at times that the MAC, the runner-up in the MAC does not get, you know, an at-large bid. But certainly if, you know, Trayshawn Fletcher, you know, wasn't going to be in the lineup, they weren't going anywhere. But that was how we started the show tonight, Dave. Really, it's really a year for the University of Toledo. You're right. I don't know if they beat Buffalo anyways, but you sit here and scratch your head. It's a what-if situation for the Rockets. So I'm glad you touched on that, especially since
yeah.
you're covering the tournament as well.
Yeah.
Because Todd Kowalczyk and his team had a wonderful year.
Well, and I think what people around the country may not realize is that next year Trayshawn Fletcher will be playing in the NBA. You're talking about a 6'7" guard who can do everything. He'll be on somebody's NBA roster next year. I mean, he was a player of the year in the MAC. There's some great players on Buffalo, obviously, but he was judged to be the best player in the MAC on a good year for the MAC. You know, this is an old story with the MAC. That every year a really good MAC team doesn't win the tournament and gets to stay home, while probably, I would guess, half a dozen teams who had losing records in power conferences, so-called power conferences, are in the NCAA tournament. It's not fair. And I'm not sure there's anything that the MAC can do about it because the selection committee is so heavily, no matter what they say, and they always pay lip service to doing thorough analysis, they're heavily weighted towards the five or six power conferences and would much rather take a middle-of-the-pack team from the ACC or from the Big Ten or from the A-10. They would much rather take that team than a team from the MAC that had that has won 23 games and had some quality victories. I think Toledo, with Trayshawn Fletcher, had a chance to win that tournament. And, you know, I didn't realize this until actually the week was going on, because Toledo basketball tends to be generally of a good caliber, that program hasn't been to the NCAA tournament, hasn't won the MAC tournament since 1980.
Right.
There's been some great teams there in the 35 years I've covered college basketball. It seems like I don't remember a year when Toledo wasn't competitive. Where they weren't, a force to be reckoned with in the MAC. It's a good school for athletics, period. And I don't understand the prejudice against schools like that. What I really don't understand is how the organizers of the NIT look at the MAC, which, by the way, was the, I believe, seventh-rated conference RPI this year, and say, "Nah, we're only going to take one team." I don't get that.
You're preaching to the choir. We talked about it. So, wait, great performance, Dave. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. I love the Lou Rawls voice. Keep that going.
Thank you.
And somewhere down the road, we'll touch base again.
Yeah, we'll try to fix the Cavs, but I don't know that we'll be able to do it.
Good stuff. David Glazier, News Herald out of Cleveland, TASS Electronics update right around the corner, everybody. Little news, weather, and sports. Drive Time rolls on as the Carfax Fox sales continues through tonight. Come up and see the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. He's got all the deals. Leave your checkbook at home. That's right. Zero down, out the door. That's right. Taxes, fees included. Carfax Fox sale continues here at the Superstore around the corner. We're going to talk brackets after this.
It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board, everybody. David Glazier joined us, News Herald out of Cleveland. Talked some Cavs. Talked about the big 4 days for the Cleveland Browns. And hats off to John Dorsey. Could run for mayor right now, I think, in Cleveland. But David Glazier brought up an interesting point. Listen, they're sold out every game. I get it. But he said, really, the fan base in Cleveland, a lot of people going in the other direction. But my take is, in Cleveland, you start winning some football games, they all come back pretty quick. Of course, the NCAA 2018 men's basketball tournament getting underway. Well, actually, tomorrow night with some of the play-in games, the tournament committee chair, of course, that's Bill Rasmussen, had a few comments about this year's selection.
We've been looking at the entire process of selecting. We've talked to a lot of people about the analytics and metrics we use. We're in the process of trying to see if we can generate something new. But I thought the quadrant system certainly gave people outside the room a better picture. I thought it was a better sorting tool. It was really recommended by the national basketball coaches. We feel it gives the public a much better picture of the discussion that goes on in the room. But we're trying to look at how did people do against tournament caliber teams. Who did they play? Where did they play them? How did they do?
Well, again, that was Bill Rasmussen, NCAA Tournament Committee Chair, joining us now. Nick Petrovich, of course, who covers the Ohio State Buckeyes. We will have that game on Thursday. They take on South Dakota State. That gets underway at 3:30. Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you?
I don't know if I agree with much of what Bill Rasmussen said. How about you?
No, because every year they say that they're going to use new criteria, they're going to stick to the criteria, and then no matter what happens, it seems like the good mid-major teams who are on the at-large bubble get left out, and teams who are in the higher conferences that were on the bubble get in. So the fact that particularly St. Mary's and Middle Tennessee didn't get in was outrageous to me, and that Oklahoma, which has lost every big game that it's played in for 10 weeks, it's just borderline outrageous.
No, I agree with you. We just had on David Glazier, who's been covering college basketball for 35 years, and he covered the MAC tournament, got talking about the Rockets. I get it now with Trayshawn Fletcher, you know, not in the mix for the University of Toledo and the loss to Buffalo. We kind of talked about it all last week, about the runner-up in the MAC, the seventh-rated conference right now. They don't even get a sniff in this thing, and you mentioned Oklahoma. So I got my – I'm shaking my head. My eyebrows are raised a little bit as well. Tell me about the Buckeyes, of course, coming up on Thursday, South Dakota State. That's a 5-seed against a 12-seed. You never want to say never, but anything intriguing about that matchup?
Oh, yeah. I mean, South Dakota State's a terrific mid-major team, and arguably one of the best mid-major offenses in the country. They have a big forward named Mike Dom, who is going to be in the discussion to potentially be a second-round draft pick. He's a terrific player. He's averaging 24-10. They have a really good point guard named David Jenkins, who's from Washington. And if you look at some of their metrics, they're really, really good offensively. They lead the country in defensive rebounding. On top of that, they're shooting 40% from three as a team. They're rated sixth in scoring offense. This is the type of game where if Ohio State does not play well, they will lose.
You know what? It's in Boise, Idaho as well. That's right out, of course, near both North and South Dakota. So a little bit of a home court advantage there for South Dakota State. I guess in the coaching standpoint, you got to like what Chris Holtman has done all year in preparing his team. They faltered a little bit down the stretch, but again, an intriguing matchup. We'll have it right here on the ticket on Thursday, by the way. Same bracket, by the way, Nick Petrovich, Toledo Blade sports writer. Anything that stands out about Michigan and Montana? And Michigan closes very, very strong again under John Beilein.
Yeah, Montana's a really good team, a really good mid-major. I thought they were going to end up on the 13 line or potentially even be in the 5-12 game, but they got a 3-14. I really like that matchup for Michigan. Michigan is just such a bear to prepare against in the NCAA tournament because everyone that they put on the floor can pass and shoot. Xavier Simpson from nearby Lima here is really coming to his own, and then even behind him, they have grad transfer Jerron Simmons. They just have so many kids that can shoot and handle the ball and pass. That's a really, really tough draw for Montana. So I think if Michigan plays anything like they did in the Big Ten tournament, that's a team that's clearly going to play
good
this weekend.
Good look into that one, Nick. Thanks for the thumbnail sketch in both those games. I'm going to call in a couple of more. Of course, the number one seeds are Virginia, Villanova, Kansas, and Xavier. We touched on Ohio State. We touched on Michigan. Anything you seen Michigan State, the Spartans taking on Arizona State, Syracuse winner. That's a play-in game, of course, on Wednesday. Either of those opponents, I'm asking you to double down on your work here a little bit, but anything stand out with Michigan State having any problem there with an 11 seed?
It's so tough to say because it feels like one team that plays in a play-in game every year makes a run. And I think it's difficult, the unintended consequence of playing these play-in games that are just not at the 16 seed, I think it's difficult on the teams that they play. So then TCU, you know, is on the other side of that. They don't know which team they're going to have until 48 hours ahead of time. And sometimes those teams, I feel, get ahead of steam when they play in that Tuesday or Wednesday game. Seems like one of them every year, you kind of figures it out. And Arizona State, I don't think they have a whole lot of support in terms of that they should have even been in the 68-team field. And Syracuse has certainly not been inspiring. I don't think Michigan State should have any problem with anyone in that quadrant.
Nick, how about Purdue and California State Fullerton?
I think Purdue has a really nice road set up here. I think the top of that bracket is really difficult, and the one that I'm looking at is West Virginia. West Virginia is a terrific defensive team. Javon Carter, their point guard, maybe the best defensive player in the country. They have a system they're really hard to prepare for with Bob Huggins. So Villanova could hypothetically see them in the Sweet 16, and those two teams could knock one another out. Purdue, I kind of like all their matchups all the way to the Elite Eight until they play one of them.
How about, Nick, how about Buffalo, Arizona? Buffalo, of course, from the MAC, beating the Rockets in the championship game over at Quicken Loans.
Yeah, I watched actually quite a bit of Buffalo. I keep up with the MAC quite a bit and watched a bit of them because they were projected to play Ohio State. They were expected to be a 12 and ended up falling to the 13. I thought they were going to be a really tough matchup for Ohio State because they start four guards, and they can really shoot the ball. C.J. Massenburg, their guard, is a terrific scorer, and they support him really well. But Arizona is, I think, completely the opposite, is not a good matchup for them. Since they play small and then they're going to go against Arizona, has DeAndre Ayton, they don't have a matchup for him at all. So unless they, you know, bomb 14 or 15 threes, that's going to be really tough sledding.
Let's go down, Nick, to the most southern portion of the state of Ohio. Two teams, Cincinnati, the two seed. They're taking on Georgia State, and the number one seed in the West, Xavier, playing a team that will get in from the 16 seed as a play-in. Stick in Ohio here, if you could, please. What do you think about those two clubs?
Cincinnati is, I think, one of the tougher teams to gauge because they didn't have a whole lot of challenges in the American, but I think they are really good defensively. If they can keep most games the way they did with the championship game against Houston yesterday, I think they're going to be for sure into the second weekend, and they'll be a tough out for anybody just because it's hard to score on them. Xavier, I think, is more well-rounded, but I think they probably have the hardest road.
Nick, I had my wife, and I'd like to thank her for, as always, and I know you can get things online, but when you're in the radio business, I like having hard copy newspapers in front of me so I don't do any scrolling, and all of a sudden things refreshing, and I get my marker out. I get into habits after 40 years, how I do things. She saved all the newspapers. I was on the road in Canada all weekend, but I read your story in the heartbreaking loss. Again, St. Francis goes down for the third consecutive year. St. Ignatius, and must have been a heck of a game.
Oh, it was terrific. I thought St. Ignatius was the best team in the state, pretty clearly, at least in terms of being deep enough. But, man, St. Francis played its guts out on Saturday and really had a chance to win it. It was one of the best hockey games I've ever seen at any level. It looked like every time that one team had the momentum, the other just ripped it right back. And clearly the overtime and the second overtime, and then probably even the last 5 or 6 minutes, it felt like every rush was going to be the one that changed the game. So it's a terrific game. They played about as well as they could have, but got everything but the winning goal.
No, good stuff. Hey, great performance as always, Nick. Thanks for coming on. Did I miss anything?
I think we got the whole bracket, didn't we?
No, we did. Good stuff. Thanks for coming on. Nick Petrovich, sports writer, Toledo Blade. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Back to close it out after this. This is ESPN 106.5. The Ticket.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. We'll be right back.